Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
It is that time again, time to listen, laugh, and learn with the Data Doctors radio program.
Each and every week, wow, my voice. Each and every week, we help folks all across the country in our stores, and then we come here on the weekends and help you right here on the radio.
This week, we help Brandon with his puberty. We are the Data Doctors, Brandon, Ken, and Spanky, here to provide education and entertainment that we like to call edutainment.
Hey, everything's better in the cloud, right? So how do you print? Is there a magical cloud printer?
Also, if your iPhone 4S battery lasts about as long as Kim Kardashian's marriage, we've got some tips for you.
And if you think you're hot in bed, just wait till you hear what happens when you sleep with your laptop.
Data Doctors radio program.
So.
Yeah.
I don't ever fall asleep with my laptop in bed.
Well, you know what? This is beyond just the laptop issue. I have a certain individual in my domicile. I will not name names.
How about initials?
No. I'm not going to go there. But
What if we mute the mics and you whisper to us?
Yeah, whatever.
No.
Having iPhones and iPads and everything being charged, but within reach while you're in bed, which means extension cords and all kinds of stuff. Somehow creep into the actual bed area.
Extension cords in bed don't seem like a good idea.
You think?
Especially if you mix them with motor oil.
Right.
Which I don't know why you'd have that there.
But I think more and more.
Brandon's kinky.
More and more people rely so heavily on these mobile devices, all these electronics.
Sure.
And they want them nearby, and so they charge them up. And there was a story last week, should be a cautionary tale for anyone out there that thinks, no big, I'll just charge up my laptop. A young man who was renting an apartment without renter's insurance came home to a Cajun-style apartment.
Yeah, so apparently...
Hang on.
A little mattress étouffée?
Yes, mattress étouffée, yes. Cajun-style being blackened.
Yes, it was charred. It was a charbecued apartment.
Yes.
Apparently, charging your laptop on your bed isn't a good idea.
Sometimes these things get warm when they are in the charge mode.
Yes.
And if you've taken your smartphone and you've plugged it in while you're driving or whatever, and you've been charging it up, you've probably noticed that thing, especially if you have it in your lap, it gets pretty warm.
Well, so there's two issues there. One, yes, it can get warm. There's three issues there. Yes, one, it can get warm. Two, we've seen story after story of these exploding laptop batteries.
Uh-huh.
They're
kind
of a freak thing, but if that happens while it's on your bed, probably not good.
Not good.
But here's the one that probably impacts the most people listening.
This would be number
three.
This is the third one.
Yeah.
So when you put your laptop on that beautiful comforter, right, that nice soft surface, what ends up happening is you cover all of the air holes.
I can't breathe.
Well, doesn't it breathe through the keyboard?
Yeah.
Not much?
No, it turns out your laptop is a mouth breather.
Yeah.
It breathes from the underside.
It's got air holes all in and all around. So that's another reason why, a lot of people have a laptop that's kind of warm, so they'll put a pillow on their lap, and then they'll put the laptop on top of the pillow to keep the heat off, right?
Of course.
Smother your laptop.
So if you're one of those doing that, you're smothering your laptops. By the way, we also have done tests on these special devices that are supposed to keep your laptop cool.
Oh, the little deals that like lift them up and
they have
fans.
Little fans,
yeah.
So we actually did heat tests on it, and every time we've tested it, the difference has been negligible, if anything.
Well, actually, there's been one big difference. Those things, oftentimes, the ones that have the fans in them, they plug into a USB port to get their power, and so unless you're plugged in charging, the big difference is that it depletes your battery a lot quicker.
Well, that would make it cool down a lot quicker, because once the battery's gone...
But the tests we did determine that if you just get the thing off your lap and on any kind of a hard surface, it has the same result. So you can take a piece of wood, anything that you have that's a hard, flat surface, put that on your lap, put the laptop on top of it, and save yourself the $40 on these laptop cooling systems.
I actually saw something the other day that was kind of smart for this. It's a little desk thing that's made for like kids to take in bed if they want to. Like my daughter has a hard time falling asleep, but if you give her a piece of paper and a couple of crayons, in 2 minutes she's out, right? It's this little desk thing that's got like a pillow surface on the bottom, so it's soft on her lap, but on the top it's like a little desk with a little ledge. That would probably be pretty smart for this, because
Except,
it's hard on top.
But I'm trying to go cheapo. That probably costs $20-$30,
but
right?
Plywood gets splinter.
Or you can do what I do, have five kids, and then just use any one of their hard covered kids' books as your desktop holder thing.
something like that.
Okay.
I don't know about that.
Anyway.
So there you go. Don't charge your laptop on your bed.
Hey, Spanky.
Yes, sir.
Are you a fan of YouTube?
I love YouTube.
How about you, Ken?
Sometimes.
We've got the 20 most shared ads from October. We've posted links on our site. They're on YouTube. And, of course, our standout hit, music, video, botnets. You can get the links, datadoctors.com/radio.
And this week...
Ja.
By the way, botnets, blowing up on the charts.
Bloating
number
up.
One in the UK. I just wanted to say that because it was fun.
Is that Upper Kentucky?
If you search for botnets on YouTube, I think ours is near number one as far as number of views.
I think we're number two right now. So we're getting there. Hey, Ron on Facebook wants to opt out.
So he's asking us on Facebook how to opt out of Facebook?
Yeah, well, he wants to get out of it completely, not just stop the account, but how do you get out of Facebook? So, I don't know the answer to that.
So he made it very clear, though. It's not just stop using Facebook, because that's easy. Just stop using Facebook.
Right.
He wants to wipe out all of his history and get rid of... He doesn't want to exist as Cyber Ron ever again.
Yeah, but isn't the internet in Sharpie?
Yeah, well, it is. Well, there's two things that you can do when you're in this situation. You can deactivate an account, which means I might come back. And when you deactivate, then you're essentially invisible to everybody on the network. But if you change your mind and say, I'm going to reactivate it, then everything you put in there becomes available again. So it's like, I'm not sure if I'm going to leave Facebook, so maybe I'll just kind of disappear for a while. That's deactivated.
It disappears you so that you're not searchable, but it takes sometimes a few weeks for that to happen. But it does give you the option, if you ever change your mind, that you come back and you pick up where you left off.
All right, so what if you want to jump off the grid completely?
Then you have to jump through a few more hoops because they want to make absolutely sure that you do want to, because they're saying this is going to be gone forever, with a little caveat saying some pictures may not be disappeared.
I found a whole other caveat that's kind of interesting.
What's that?
You can say, I want to be gone forever. And if you use, you know how you go to some websites and you have a choice when you register or when you log in, you can log in with their system or you can just log in with their Facebook Connect, which lets you use the credentials you already have. Well, if you use one of those sites, you have to go and disconnect that Facebook account from all those sites, number one. Number two, don't log in at one of those sites with the Facebook Connect for at least 2 weeks after you've told it go away for good, because one login tells Facebook, no, I changed my mind, I'm staying.
Oh, and it brings you back.
know what? It's just deactivate, don't delete.
Hey, still ahead, rotten apples, why your iPhone 4S may be dead before we get back from the break.
Plus, 9 things you need to know about the new Gmail.
Where's it happening? Right here on the Data Doctors radio program.
Look, computer problems are a fact of life. And when your computer is acting up, you need to know why.
Hey, that's why Data Doctors always starts with something called a PC physical.
Look, the doctor doesn't start by performing an operation. They do an exam to find out what the heck is wrong.
Quit treating the symptoms and get to the cause with Data Doctors' exclusive PC physical.
Hey, no matter what the problem is, it could be a desktop, it could be a laptop, Macs, Windows, we don't care. Data Doctors, we're the cure.
And we specialize in the really difficult laptop repairs like broken power jacks, cracked screens, and even the tragic, I spilled my coffee on my keyboard problem.
If it's broken, we can unbreak it.
And if you can hear this radio program, you can save 50% on a PC physical right now. Just tell them the boys on the radio sent you.
Call 888-545-1988 or go to datadoctors.com and click schedule a PC physical today.
888-545-1988. Data Doctors. Save 50% on your PC physical and get it healthy again.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Live from New York, it's the Statue of Liberty webcams.
Oh, it's not Saturday night?
No, I'm not Don Pardo.
In some places where we air, it might be Saturday night.
Yeah, it's true. 24/7 streaming from Lady Liberty in the southern tip of Manhattan. It's fantastic. You want to check it out? We got the link. datadoctors.com/radio.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, we're taking your calls. It's 888-545-1988. Yes, it's an 888 number, not 800. So 888-545-1988. And anytime on facebook.com/datadoctors. Well, not taking your calls, taking your questions. Rick, welcome to the Data Doctors radio program. How can we help?
I have a question about remote printing from my laptop or cloud printing. Mm-hmm. I was wanting to get some more information on that and how I can print from my laptop when I'm in the field. And it prints to a computer somewhere where I can pick the paper up or print the printout.
Okay.
Everybody's got their heads in the cloud these days, don't they?
Well, don't you have a little device in your hand that you can just print out of when you're in the...
So in the old school days, right, they made these little mobile printers that were about the size of a laptop that you could kind of like unfold, and they took ink cartridges, and yeah, they were garbage. And today, if you're, I've got a buddy who owns an HVAC company, and he's moving more and more towards this idea of, well, what about the customer doesn't care so much about the paperwork, but I need it for back at the office. And so this whole idea of why not send the customer like a PDF and then do some kind of remote thing that prints back at the office where my guys are just out in the field and they stay out there and they do their thing. And so I hooked him up with Google. If you have Google Chrome, they have a cool little function, utility, whatever you want to call it. It's called Google Cloud Printing.
And how much does this cost?
Free. Did I mention it's free?
$0.
It's a Focus. Simple little install, and you go and you set up a printer as the printer it talks to, and you can have multiples, and it attaches to your Google profile. And it's printing from like Google Docs and things like that, super simple, but from other things with a little bit of playing, you can get there.
Yeah.
And basically, it lets you print from anywhere on an internet connection back to your internet connected PC that has a printer attached, and you know, from there.
But there's a safety caveat.
Safety?
If you're hooked up to this and you're printing on an office printer and you're sending something that may be personal, private document, whatever, think before you click. Because if you send it to the wrong printer...
So you, printing the picture where you sat on the scanner and scanned your butt and...
Exactly.
That's what you're talking about?
You don't want to send it to the wrong printer. If you send it to the cloud printer and it's in an office space where there's lots of people who share... You're sending stuff to the wrong place.
And so the opposite of that is you business owners that have proprietary information, you want to try to lock down the fact that people can't sit from the office and just print out all this stuff at home. You know, so for every great thing that's provided by cloud printing, does it create a security issue at your office?
Wow, I never thought about that. Until just this second.
So the Google Cloud Printing is one idea that's out there. It's free. There's a couple others that we kind of did a little hunting and found. Printer Anywhere is another service it's like a freemium, right? So it starts out with some basic free stuff, but if you want to get really nuts, it gives you tons of flexibility. It's another out there. And there's a few more. We'll get some links posted at datadoctors.com/radio.
Yeah, for the most part, it's good stuff.
Yeah. Hey, you can subscribe to our weekly newsletter. Get all the tips, tricks, and warnings that we talk about right in your inbox. Just go to datadoctors.com/radio. Look for the newsletter box. Type in your email address, and you're done.
Hey, remember when the iPhone 4 came out? Do you remember what all the grief was with that device?
The bumper issue.
Antenna gate.
Yeah, you had to have something on your phone so you didn't disconnect your calls.
And what happened when everybody they had videos showing, look, this is what happens, and what did we get from Apple?
Well, you're holding it wrong.
Silence.
No, holding it wrong.
No. We got silence for the weeks.
Yeah,
we heard nothing.
They were in the dark.
Well, they were probably trying to figure out how to solve the problem.
And when they did finally come out, they said, you're holding it wrong. But that impacted everybody. There's a smaller version of that going on now with a lot of iPhone 4S users in that, hey, it's 10:30 and my battery is dead. Why come?
Well, and Apple says that there's going to be a fix for this in a few weeks. There's apparently some software glitch in iOS 5. It's not the iPhone 4S that's the problem.
Correct.
But I think a lot of it is user error. I think a lot of it is how people use their phones. For example.
But hang on. Under no circumstances, no matter how bad you've got things set up, should your battery die by 10 o'clock in the morning?
Bless you.
Sorry, I had to sneeze.
It happens.
Right? I mean, I'm not buying that one.
No.
But 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Yeah, maybe. But 10 in the morning? I mean, come on.
What if you work a night shift, sir?
Oh, never mind.
I know someone. Brandon, I think you may know this person.
Yeah.
I know someone.
We won't mention names, right?
No. Yeah, but I know someone whose name rhymes with Jen Jolburn.
Right.
Who, when he
spends all day long trying to talk to Siri about crazy stuff and sucks down his battery life and then complains.
And then when he's done, he puts his phone down on the desk and doesn't turn the screen off. So he's worried that his battery is dead 5 minutes after he gets to the office.
And this same person we both know months ago did this
Jen Jolburn.
Yes, he did. Well, his name rhymes with that.
Yes.
He did a video and wrote a newspaper column about how to extend your smartphone battery life, but he breaks half the rules that are in the video about push and fetch and
Ken,
turning down screen brightness.
For the record, I'm at 69% right now. So
okay, and for the record, I'm at 81.
Halfway through the day and you're at 81. See? Look at that.
You're not a fanboy.
No, I just think
the reality is 76. Apple has acknowledged that they have a problem. there's some kind of a bug in the location services.
Yeah, so let's talk about that.
There's a couple things now, including you folks that have older iPhones that are having, you noticed ever since iOS 5 update, you noticed, hey, your battery's not lasting as long. There's a couple things that are in there that you may want to check. The most common things we're seeing people say to go look at are location-based, the setting that specifically says, check to see which time zone I'm in. Apparently, there's a bug in that. A lot of people have said, when I've turned that off, my battery life lasted much longer.
Well, and there's another one that Ken pointed out to me, and I was shocked at how many, if you go to your Facebook tab in your alerts, how many things Facebook is pushing to you automatically by default. Everything is turned on.
10 of them.
Yeah, it is ridiculous.
So one I see that's a lot easier that people can do without changing any settings right now.
What's that?
My wife is guilty of this. I see people all the time, smartphones in general. They're using it, doing whatever, and then they set it down.
Mm-hmm.
And for a minute, minute and a half, whatever the setting is, the screen stays fully lit, bright. And they do that 50 times a day. And
right.
Versus hit that little button,
hit
one button,
yeah,
and it just turns the screen off. And that one little thing changes the world.
Well, here,
that sound.
Here's the other thing. This is going to continue on. So check out the tips we've got for anybody having battery issues on our website, datadoctors.com/radio.
Coming up, you want performance, speed, reliability, and savings? What would Brandon do?
I'll tell you coming up. Also, if you still use Internet Explorer, well, now you're in the minority. Well, sort of. The big blue E, not so big anymore.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, are you into health and fitness, Bank?
If it involves sitting on the couch and watching TV, yes.
No, health and fitness. That's exercise and such.
I watch exercise.
Check out Jawbone's new wristband called Up. This wristband, it talks to your smartphone, tracks your sleep, your exercise, and you only have to plug it in about it once every 10 days or so.
That's very smart.
It is very smart. You can get the links, datadoctors.com/radio.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
So Jeff on Facebook wants to improve the performance of his Dell XPS Studio 9000.
That's a lot of...
Well, yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
So he's thinking about installing a Corsair Force 3 90 gig solid state SATA drive.
Nerd out, bro.
Yeah, I know. Any tips on how to improve the performance on his device? He wants to know if he can make it faster, better. Which leads me to the question, what would Brandon do? How do you get better performance and get all that data onto a 90 gig solid state drive? 90 gig doesn't seem very big.
So Jeff's question is what he wants to do is he wants to get more performance, right? Let's talk about what he wants to accomplish first, because I'm a big fan of figuring out what it is the goal of the exercise is before we just go and do it, because oftentimes you're going to be disappointed if you just start doing something. So he wants faster performance.
Right.
The problem is he's talking about a solid state drive, which is absolutely going to give him faster performance. He's talking about a 90 gig drive, which doesn't sound big compared to the 1 terabyte drives that come in machines new these days, but for solid state drives, it's relatively large. He's talking about a fairly expensive drive. And the problem he's going to run into is that it doesn't have enough room to fit Windows and all of his programs and all the data he cares about and all the things he stores like pictures and music. And so he's going to have a little bit of a struggle, because what he wants to do is move Windows, right, and the associated files that go along with its operation over and take his existing drive and keep it as a secondary drive that allows him to have all his data sort of on that secondary.
Right.
So that he can have the best of both worlds. He keeps the space that he's already got, the speed of this thing. But there's no way to move just Windows, right? Because it's all intertangled and intertwined with all of his settings and data and all those other things. And so to get there is a big painful road that involves him putting this drive in and installing Windows from scratch on this drive and getting it all set up, and then putting his existing drive in as a secondary drive and accessing his data, but he's going to have to reinstall his programs, change all the settings. There's just no way to... You want to split...
That's painful.
It's all mixed up, right? So there's no way to get from here to there. And then the other problem is that unless Jeff is very, very careful going forward, everything you go to install, and I mean everything, by default wants to install to the same place, which is the quote-unquote C drive, which will become his solid-state drive in this whole equation. And as you start installing things, you've got to be very conscious and very careful to make sure you're not installing them there, because you're going to fill up that thing really quickly and cause yourself a bunch of grief. And so there's sort of a happy medium here that gives you lots of storage and lots of speed that's very close. We've been talking about it for, gosh, weeks here on the radio program. It's the hybrid drive. And it combines traditional hard drive technology for its mass storage with some solid state. And it's not a huge amount of solid state, but it's enough. And it also has a little bit of intelligence that it figures out the stuff you use most, and it moves it to that solid state portion. And we did a kind of a short video to show the difference between a solid state drive, which is what he's talking about, a hybrid drive, which is what I'm talking about, and a traditional drive side by each. Yes, I said that. And to show the difference in performance, and the hybrid drive is neck and neck with the solid state drive for almost every test that we put it through, booting the computer, loading four or five different applications, doing different things. It really is very, very similar performance for a lot less dough, and you don't run into these storage issues. You just simply replace the drive. And if you want that secondary drive then as a backup, fantastic. So his existing drive.
Okay. And Jeff, we've got a link to that so you can see the video and see for yourself the performance of these drives at datadoctors.com/radio.
Yes, but check out the hybrid drive. Do yourself a favor. If you go down the path you're thinking right now, not only are you going to spend a lot more money, I promise you down the road you're going to run into a brick wall with space limitations and issues, and you're going to constantly be struggling with that, besides the pain you have to go through today to get there. So it just, yeah, what would Brandon do? I would do none of the above. I would get the hybrid drive and be much happier.
And if you're a big fan of the radio program and you're wondering, where's Ken Colburn? Well, he had to go recharge his iPhone for us. And
I think he got all bent out of shape because we were calling out the guy that's name sounded like Jen,
yeah,
whatever you said.
He stormed out of the studio like a sissy Mary.
Maybe he'll be back.
Yeah, maybe he will. Hey, remember Net Zero?
Net Zero. They were the company that started out with free internet, and then they went to like $10 a month internet, and the name didn't really match the, yeah.
Now they want to sell you mobile broadband.
Mobile broadband?
Yeah, they want to sell you wireless internet access.
Not like Wi-Fi. You mean like wherever I go, wireless?
Yeah, wherever you go. They want to give you an alternative. So
this is that deal with Clear and their,
Clear.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for an alternative carrier for some Wi-Fi while you're on the go.
Not Wi-Fi.
Roaming mobile broadband. It's goofy. It's Net Zero. Net Zero is the place.
Hey, from our Facebook wall, Jackie asks, is Dragon software any good? What she's talking about is that voice dictation software made by what's the name of the company?
Nuance,
yes. It's called Dragon, and of the stuff that's out there that does voice recognition and voice dictation and that kind of stuff, it's probably the undisputed leader. It's probably the best. Right.
Probably the best, but it ain't no Siri. That I can tell you.
Well, and even Siri, voice technology is really good for voice commands and for telling it very specific things you want to do. But when it comes to trying to, like, write a document, you're going to be amazed that they'll say it's 80%, 90% accurate.
Let's just say 90%.
Great, 90%. That means one in every 10 words is wrong. So and the amount of time, if you have a real keyboard, the amount of time you're going to go back and edit, you're not saving anything. Voice commands, fantastic. Voice dictation, not so much.
So is it good? Yes. Is it great? Absolutely not. Coming up, the Internet Tax Talk is back.
Plus, having a baby soon? Not me, but maybe you are. How about a high-tech baby monitor?
It's coming up right here on the Data Doctors radio program. We've been talking about hybrid drives for the last few weeks, hybrid hard drives. And if you want to get in on this goodness, you got to act fast.
Yeah, we told you about the flooding in Thailand and how it's increasing the prices of hard drives. And the hard drive prices on hybrids have gone up as well. But even still at the higher price, it's still one of the best things you can do for your computer.
Your computer's hard drive, it's the slowest component in your computer. And if you speed it up, you'll speed everything up.
Look, we can add a hybrid hard drive to your laptop or desktop for just $199. And for a limited time, we'll install it for free.
That's right, for free, we said, on the installation. So if you're excited about this breakthrough in hard drives and you want to make it affordable for everybody, you get down to Data Doctor's location now.
That's right, you can get a major performance boost for less than $200.
Wherever you are, if you can hear our voices, we can rock your world with this new technology.
Give us a call. It's 888-545-1988 or go online, datadoctors.com, and schedule an appointment today.
And tell them the guys on the radio said, we'll install it for free.
Go to datadoctors.com fast.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, if you're tired of paper shopping lists and sticky notes when you're grocery shopping, you can download a free app that lives in your iOS device. That means like an iPhone or an iPad. Keep track of everything you need. It's called Grocery IQ. Check it out.
I thought the little tasks and list was for that.
No.
All right.
This one is store friendly.
DataDoctors.com/radio.
Tech knowledge for your technology.
Data Doctors Radio Program.
Isn't this where you should have the tax man sound file?
Yeah, but you know, come on. The internet tax discussion.
What about just an evil laugh? I said an evil laugh. I said an evil laugh. All right, never mind.
All right. How many times do we have to have the discussion about the internet tax?
Well, do you want to balance the budget?
How is the internet tax going to make the budget better?
How about if they charge like postage for every email ever sent?
You know, okay,
hang on. Are you seriously?
Yes.
Every transaction that occurs on the internet, there's no tax going to any government agency.
Whoa. No.
I'm for this. For this discussion.
Okay, but plenty of transactions done on the internet are charged tax. If the entity you're purchasing from operates a physical location in the state where you're doing the transaction,
you got to pay tax.
You're paying tax on it. They're charging tax on it.
So guess what that law is encouraging?
People shut
down your businesses, your physical locations, and just go on the internet, right? Kill those jobs.
Right.
You want that?
No, that's not what it's encouraging.
Sure it is.
Look, for years, before the internet.
Amazon was threatening to pull out of their entire operation out of Texas.
Right.
Right, unless Texas gave them the reprieve, right? So that's the battle. Do you want to give tax relief to certain entities so that they'll continue to give you jobs? That's a big quagmire. This is not the simple little thing of,
so why don't we go back?
I don't want to pay taxes.
Let's make this retroactive, because before the internet, there were phone orders where you would call a company that had a store in a state, and you would order something.
Yeah.
You didn't live there. You didn't pay the state sales tax. The thing came to you.
The transactions on the internet actually are designed to work a lot like what's called the MOTO system, the mail order telephone order system, right? Where when you cross state lines, it gets really complicated. And even if we say, let's tax. Well, if you've looked at the tax structure in this country, it's very complicated. So how do you even implement that?
Okay, but we have retail stores. We're in 10 states,
yes.
Right? We have to deal with this.
In those 10 stores.
Right.
In those 10 states.
Right.
Well, no, it's more than 10 stores.
What's,
10
I mean,
states.
Amazon can't figure out how to collect taxes and distribute them?
No, they're not real smart over there.
Yeah, whatever.
I just don't think this is an answer that's going to fix.
Okay, but here's the reality.
Yeah.
And why people like Walmart and Best Buy and these other guys are all behind this
and
legislation.
Home Depot.
You know why? Because people go in, especially with electronics, they'll go into a retail store, they'll play around with something, they'll ask the clerk, and they'll get all the information, get the touchy-feely, go, okay, thank you, and then they'll go order it online.
So? It's America.
Okay, so
it's America. That's
if you're okay with that, that means you're going to have fewer and fewer places to actually do this because people are going to go, you know what? I can't stay in business.
I'm totally fine with that. It's the internet. It's the wild, wild west.
Since we're getting all political here.
Yeah.
This isn't a political discussion.
Well, you started with we've got to balance the budget. We operate a business here and we can't just arbitrarily decide we want to raise revenues, snap our fingers and it happens. So we have to figure out how to try to raise revenues, but careful about expenses and not spend on silly things.
But when that income, that used to be at this level, drops down to this level because people are skating the tax collection process, right?
I mean, which is the customer.
Which is the basis, right? That's always paid for everything. I'm not suggesting we need to tax everything in the world, but this is a very real situation that anybody that wants to just jump up and go, it's just unfair. I want my internet purchase. They got to think about all the ramifications of not having that tax dollar available.
Didn't you hear? Everything on the internet's supposed to be free.
This is taxation without downloadation.
Downloadation.
Okay.
No, but I don't want people to think about taxation with retardation.
Thank you. Hey, if you're having a baby soon,
that's a nice transition.
I'm transitioning out of this one. If you're having a baby soon, don't just go out and buy a baby monitor, especially on the internet, because you know you're not paying taxes.
Yeah, you got to go into a retail store.
Exactly. Go get a high-tech baby monitor that can interface with your smartphone. We've got links to some of the coolest ones.
No, we don't have links. You have to go into one of our stores to find out how.
That's right. We can't link you to anything on the internet,
and you must pay the tax.
DataDoctors.com/radio.
You pointed at me like I'm going to talk about 9 things that you need to know about the new Gmail.
Is Gmail going to get taxed now, too?
Gmail.
Yes.
So it's the same mail service you know and love, but with a more beautiful look.
They've redesigned it. They've made it more user-friendly, a lot nicer, prettier.
It's like cleaner and streamlineder.
You know what it looks like? It looks like in those Windows 8 demos that we're seeing, those Metro apps.
Nothing like that to me.
Well, it looks like when you put the background. Okay, so let's tell you what Google's done with Gmail.
He's an Apple guy. They change a few colors, and he goes, "Oh, look, he butterflies."
It's why do you guys rip on me?
Because it's such an easy target.
It's pretty. The interface. Windows never had the pretty interface that Apple does. Google.
What?
Gmail has a nice, pretty interface.
I've looked at the desktop on your computer. There's nothing pretty about that,
sir.
What
are you talking about? Look
at all the garbage on the
back. This is a lovely desktop. Look here, Disney. Look at this. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, why is your Apple logo on fire?
Because it's hot.
No, because it's going down in flames. I'm just being the hater for a second.
You are a hater.
So Google,
yes,
decided to take something good and make it better, and they've redesigned, streamlined, given you some options. You can change the view and make it super compact or nice and airy and spacey. You can apply themes and cool backgrounds and colors. You can organize and sort better. All kinds of cool new features. We've got a list of all the new features, all the cool stuff at one place, datadoctors.com/radio.
And one of the cooler features, the automatically adopt, it kind of resizes. You know how a lot of people have a problem because the screen, the window changed size, and
right,
and so now it doesn't fit in there, and I got to resize. It recognizes that windows are going to change sizes and kind of reformats things.
So what Ken was saying in English is, if you click your mouse on the lower corner of your screen and you stretch it out or you shrinkify it,
shrinkify?
I like shrinkify. It expands and contracts and then resizes everything. So that you're not losing things off the edge and you don't have to have scroll bars here and scroll bars there. It's a very clean interface. I think Google's done a great job with the new Gmail. Of course, there's going to be haters out there, because there always are as soon as there's a new change.
Well, there is some unrest out there.
But you're getting it for free, so calm yourself.
Exactly. They're having some problems with their app, I hear, still.
They need to tax it.
Hour number two, just ahead. Paper cuts can be a thing of the past, but how do you get your filing cabinet in the cloud?
You tax it, that's how. Hey, remember, the Data Doctors radio program is your source for all things tech. You can find the links to everything we talk about today, last week, last month, last year, all at one place, datadoctors.com/radio.
And of course, if you miss any part of today's program, and why would you, you just subscribe to Data Doctors radio program on iTunes, and you can hear every minute of it.
Tax-free.
Exactly.
Tax-free.
And if you get stuck with your tech, your hard drive starts clicking, you spill your morning joe on your laptop, we can help. Just head over to datadoctors.com. Find the Data Doctors location nearest you anywhere in the country, and we're here to help. Hour number two, straight ahead.
This is the Data Doctors radio program. Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
That's right, kids. It's time to listen, laugh, and learn here on the Data Doctors radio program.
Each and every week, we help thousands of folks in our stores all over the country, and then we come here on the weekends and we help you for free right here on the radio.
We are the Data Doctors. Ken over there, Brandon right in front of me.
Right here.
And me, Spanky, here to provide you education and entertainment. We call it edutainment.
Hey, Spanky, you know what Chris Humphries, the BlackBerry, and Sony have in common?
No.
Yeah, hang tight, I'll tell you.
Also, how do you get your filing cabinet full of paper? How do you get all that stuff up in the cloud?
And is Ken the only one clogging Siri server?
He's the primary offender.
Is he eating up all his data plan? We'll tell you.
Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, I'm going to tell you what to do when you shut your lid.
What do you shut my lid? I usually flush.
No, not that.
No.
Oh, different lid?
Blow your lid, I think, was a reference, and then it got screwed up with shut.
No. You know when you shut the lid on your laptop?
Yeah.
What happens?
Well, he has a MacBook Pro 16 gig. So it's different for him because he's elite. And
it goes dark and stops doing things?
Does it shut off? Does it go to sleep? Does it hibernate? What does it do?
I don't know what it does. It shuts off and the little Apple glow doesn't glow anymore.
You should maybe pay attention.
Well, how do I know? It's closed. What am I? It's not like the refrigerator door. I can open it up and peek and see what it's doing in
there.
So
when you
do, it turns back on.
Right.
So when you shut your lid and it's set to go to sleep,
yeah,
and then you put it in your backpack and then you go for a couple of days and then you pull it back out and it's dead.
Right.
It's because when you shut your lid, it went to sleep.
But how do I change that? There's no setting that I can do that. I shut it and it goes away.
So Macs by default.
Yes.
If you just shut the lid, yeah. And you haven't changed any settings.
Right.
They go to sleep, meaning they shut down non-essential things, but your processor is still consuming power. Everything's still happening in the background, and it's designed that you can shut it. You know, walk across the building or go to lunch. You flip it back open, and everything within a few seconds is right back to where you were.
Yeah.
Versus Hibernate, which is what will happen by default on the Mac. If it's gone to sleep for too long and the battery's getting really low, it automatically goes to Hibernate, which is save everything that's going on in RAM and in processor space and all that to a big file on your disk, then power off everything other than non-essential stuff,
okay.
Right? And it'll live like that for days and days and days.
Well, there's nothing to live. It actually shuts off.
And if you open it back up, yeah. The thing you'll notice then is it doesn't automatically come back on. You hit the power button, and it kind of wakes back up, and it takes 15 seconds, maybe 20 seconds to get back to where you can use it again. That's Hibernate, right?
Oh, okay.
It's pulling all that information that it's stored. It's saved.
And you know what shutdown is.
Yeah.
And we know what stay on is. So
right.
It doesn't do either of those things.
Yeah, most people don't have any. And by the way, I wasn't even talking to you Apple schmoes.
Okay.
This is for my Windows fans.
All right.
There, you can determine what happens when you close the lid. I think most people don't even realize that. And you can actually say, this is what I want to have happen when it's plugged in.
Wait, you can program your Windows computer laptop to do different things when you shut the lid?
But of course.
And you can even say, when I'm plugged into power.
That's it. I'm done with this.
Wait.
Get rid of that.
When I'm plugged into power, do this set of behaviors versus right. When I'm running on battery, do a different set of behaviors. In fact, you can have up to four profiles.
Shut the front door.
Yes, you can.
So now we're telling you to shut your lid properly.
Okay.
And it can do things like it can spin down your hard drive. It can deal with your display, turn it off, blank it, go to a password lock screen. It can do things, the Hibernate, the sleep, the power off. It's got all kinds of different options. They're all in that little control panel buried away for you to go.
And tell them how they get their step-by-step instructions, Don Pardo.
We could probably make it a lot easier than that.
Yeah.
Just give them a link and...
That's what
go
I mean.
From there. Yeah. Oh, datadoctors.com/radio.
Obviously,
he did
not
you.
Get his coffee today, did he?
Whatever.
On to.
That's right. It's time. Each and every week, we, Data Doctors, bring you, listeners, some phrase, some acronym.
And you two wannabe whisper rappers try to...
Whatever.
Whisper sync.
So we bring you this word from geekdom. That's the world where techs talk down to you and
yeah.
They're kind of jerks and nerds and geeks. And yeah.
I got a good one for
you. We break it on down to English for you.
Got a good one for you this week for all you sports fans.
Geek speak of the week.
You actually have either done this or you have friends that do this to you all the time. The game is on. I have to work. I'm recording it at home. Don't tell me anything. I'm not gonna look at my text messages. I'm not gonna open up any of my apps.
The spoiler for those of us who don't
because I
want to
get
about sports.
I want to get home and I want to watch it as if it's happening live.
Right.
So I've put myself into scoratorium.
Scoratorium. It's the purposeful avoidance of all forms of communication that might disclose the results of a sporting event.
But does it have to be for sporting events? Because couldn't it be for the show that I like that I don't want you to spoil for me?
Yeah, because I'm in
it wouldn't be scoratorium.
On Sunday nights, I'm in a Dextatorium. I don't want to know about Dexter until I get to sit in front of the DVR and watch it.
But, I mean, if you're an American Idol fan, you could use scoratorium.
Sure.
So right. The idea is, folks, when you hear somebody say, hey, I'm in scoratorium,
yeah.
That means don't tell me.
But here's the thing, Ken. I don't think people actually use the word scoratorium. They just say, don't tell me anything about the game.
But now if they do...
They can use the word and sound smart.
Or if somebody else uses the word, they'll be smart and know what it means.
Exactly.
That's the value of this radio program right
That's
there.
Fantastic. That's worth every dime you don't pay for it.
And that's that. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Hey, okay.
Go ahead.
Chris Humphries.
Yeah.
Do you know who Chris Humphries is?
Yeah, Kim...
hurry up because
Kim Kardashian's husband soon to be
ex.
Yeah, yeah.
You ever heard of a company called BlackBerry?
Yeah, they used to make this relevant device called BlackBerry.
And remember this powerhouse company called Sony?
Yeah, the company's name is RIM, by the way.
Yeah, RIM. But RIM. Sony. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They used to make TVs and
Walkman.
Walkman.
So
yeah, yeah.
What do all three of these folks and companies have in common?
They're not all from Japan.
They've all been hacked by Anonymous. No.
Probably, but...
They're all getting divorced from Kim Kardashian. No.
They are all either soon to be or currently irrelevant.
Wow. Well, Chris Humphries, yeah. BlackBerry, definitely. Sony, why would Sony be irrelevant?
When's the last time you actually made a purchase of a product and Sony was in the running?
Oh, wait a second.
Oh. I don't know.
No, I changed my mind. Yeah.
TV? No.
You know, I just thought about the last purchase I made that was a Sony product. In the early days of TiVo, and I'm not talking about generic DVRs, I'm talking about TiVo the product. They had licensed third-party companies to make TiVos.
Sure.
And I bought a Sony TiVo.
Yeah, but Sony didn't make it.
I think the last thing I got are the headphones I'm wearing.
It was an interesting conversation we started having before the show, and we're like, you know what? Let's ask our Facebook fans, and we have been, and they're all with us.
Facebook.com/DataDoctors is where you can answer the question, when was the last Sony product you purchased? Because we think they're irrelevant.
Still to come, Mac versus PC. How do you get better resolution?
Also, customizing your web browser. How to do something so simple, even Spanky could do it.
This Doctor's radio program.
Unbelievable. Look, computer problems are a fact of life. And when your computer is acting up, you need to know why.
Hey, that's why Data Doctors always starts with something called a PC physical.
Look, the doctor doesn't start by performing an operation. They do an exam to find out what the heck is wrong.
Quit treating the symptoms and get to the cause with Data Doctors' exclusive PC physical.
Hey, no matter what the problem is, it can be a desktop, it can be a laptop, Macs, Windows, we don't care. Data Doctors, we're the cure.
And we specialize in the really difficult laptop repairs like broken power jacks, cracked screens, and even the tragic, I spilled my coffee on my keyboard problem.
If it's broken, we can unbreak it.
And if you can hear this radio program, you can save 50% on a PC physical right now. Just tell them the boys on the radio sent you.
Call 888-545-1988 or go to datadoctors.com and click schedule a PC physical today.
888-545-1988. Data Doctors. Save 50% on your PC physical and get it healthy again. Hey, if you like email and can't get enough of the tips, tricks, and warnings we give you here on the radio program, we'll deliver them right to your inbox. Just subscribe to our weekly newsletter. Go to datadoctors.com/radio. Look for the newsletter box and simply type in your email address. It's that easy.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
It's phone call time. Taking your calls at 888-545-1988, or you can ask your question anytime at facebook.com/datadoctors. Rose, welcome to the Data Doctors radio program. How may we help you?
I'm trying to use the system configuration utility. I'm trying to uncheck some services that I don't want to start up when I turn on the computer.
Hey, what version of Windows are you running, Rose?
I'm running Windows XP. But when I say apply on that dialog box, I get a system configuration error that says that I may need to log on using an administrator account to make these changes. But I am an administrator on the account that's logged in, so I don't know quite what to make of that.
Well, yeah. So either one of two things. Either you think you're set up as an administrator, but you need to go in and double check that and make sure. And you do that in the control panel under users. You want to make sure that the user you're actually logging in as is set as a system administrator. And if it wasn't set as that, set it, then log out and log back in. The other possibility is that your profile has become corrupt and something has been damaged in the permissions. And so the alternative there is forget fixing for a second, log off and log on as the actual administrator. And if you get to the screen and it has choices where you click and there's nothing there, try this trick. Do control delete two times. And when you do that, it should bring up a dialog box that asks for a username and password versus just a click on a user and type in the password. And when it brings up that dialog box, type in administrator as the user. And unless you set a password, leave it blank. Say, okay, if you set a password for administrator, then log in that way. And try the same thing.
And by the way, for anybody out there thinking the system configuration tool, which allows you to uncheck things so that they don't start up, is actually a tool. It's a diagnostic tool. And you haven't really made a real change because at any moment that unchecked device could easily put itself back in there, which is what happens a lot, especially with malicious software. So
There's a lot of people, there's stuff on the internet that tells you this is the way you stop things from automatically starting up. And understand that MS Config utility was originally intended for technicians to be able to troubleshoot and diagnose problems. And once they'd figured out what the issues were using that tool, then fix the problem, which is getting rid of the thing the right way, either by uninstalling or going into the registry and removing the things from automatically starting up. And what you've done is you've left it in this diagnostic mode, which is bypassing the problem for now, but it's not really dealing with the problem.
You put your head in the sand. So, Rose, if you're really going to get after this and be a DIY person, you need to understand how to work within the Windows registry, and if you're not comfortable doing that, consult your nearest...
Bribe someone with baked goods.
Brandon, you said something during that caught my attention, and you were talking about...
I always do that. I'm good like that.
Yes.
Go ahead.
You were talking about that your... you didn't say registry. What was the word that you used when you were talking about the disk permissions? How do you correct permissions problems in the Windows world?
That's a Google that one. That's a
multiple-step kind of thing, and it depends on if it's a file permission issue, a folder permission issue, or a operating system permission issue, because the fix is very different depending on which.
So in the Mac world, we have in our disk utility a repair disk permissions. And it fixes it all.
We can do that in the Windows world, too, at the hard drive level, at the folder level, or at the file level. But that's likely not the issue she's running into in her case.
This is a profile.
You brought it up and it just made me think about that.
Yeah, profile permission issues are different than file permission issues. And what you're talking about is the same in the Mac world. That there are profiles and there are files and folder permissions.
And permissions for each of
those. What you're talking about is the equivalent of our disk or file or folder permission issue.
I got it.
So as she's running Windows XP, she's probably old school.
Yes.
And if she's old school, she's probably not using Twitter.
By the way, Rose, old school doesn't mean old. It just means like you like...
If you're using Windows XP...
In Ken's world, old school is old.
Old school. So the old school, folks. I found a way for you to start tweeting.
What do you mean?
There's a
old school.
Ukrainian company that came up with this brilliant idea to take those old rotary phones that are just sitting in garbage piles everywhere.
Ukrainian company?
Yes.
Okay.
Ukrainian. Not me, Ukrainian.
Is it what, made by Peggy?
What country Peggy. Is that in?
Ukraine.
Oh, okay.
And they repurposed these rotary dial phones, remember the old
i9,
into machines that can tweet.
What?
You know what? It's impossible to even explain it. Just go check it out. We've got the link on our website, datadoctors.com/radio. Even if you're not old school, you're going to love it. Check it out.
I picture like an old telegraph machine in my head.
Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
It's time for this week's Mac versus PC. No, not mine is better than yours. Yours is better than mine.
There's no hate here.
No, it's all about how they do things differently.
Or the same, actually, when it turns out.
They're
all done.
In
switchers.
This case. Yep. Exactly. So this week, I was sitting in Brandon's office, and he was messing around with stuff on his desktop. And I looked at him, and I said, Brandon, how do you change your screen resolution if you wanted to in the Windows world?
And it turns out that just like in the Mac world, there's multiple different ways. The way I use, and it's probably the simplest way, is anywhere on the desktop. And so that means minimize your programs for a second. If you're playing along here, I'll give you a second. You minimize those things. Now, pick a spot on that background where the wallpaper is that there's no program, there's no file, there's nothing there. It's just a blank space. And right-click. And this is for Windows Vista and Windows 7. The steps are slightly different for Windows XP. And once you've right-clicked, a little menu of things will pop up. One of those things will say screen resolution. And if you click on that, it's going to be super obvious from there what to do. There's a little slider you just drag up and down. And off you go.
Teacher?
Yes.
Yes.
What does screen resolution mean?
Screen resolution has to do with the size of things relative to the size of your screen. And so as you increase the screen resolution, you fit more stuff. But to fit more stuff, everything has to be miniaturized a little bit.
So is that why when I buy those new monitors that are super wide, I can't read nothing?
That's correct. Because they're probably set at some really ungodly level, like, 1900 by 1200, which is where I keep mine. It really makes everything very small. I know my parents like everything at about 800 by what 600. Is it 600, and I hate using their computer just for that reason, because it's like there's not everything is ginormous.
Right,
it's like a big map on the wall. The further back you go, the more you can see, and it harder is to read.
And in the Mac world, by the way, you go into your system preferences, and inside your system preferences is your display settings, and you can also put that up in your menu bar at the top of your Mac.
See how similar they are? Because in our control panel, there's display settings and the same.
Does
the we just
same.
Have a shortcut. And you
hey, on the other side of the break, we're going to tell you how to get your paper out of your life and up into the cloud.
Plus, Internet Explorer, Chrome, Firefox. Who's surfing on what browser?
What about Opera?
What about Opera?
Safari.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Google says they're going to start charging some businesses who use their maps on their websites. Don't get confused with all this. They're basically saying if you use their maps on your website and you get more than 40,000 uses per day, you might get charged. Find out how much it could cost your business to use Google Maps. One place, datadoctors.com/radio.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors Radio Program.
I don't think anybody listening to this show gets 40,000 uses a day.
We have Google Maps integrated in our site. Like if you go to datadoctors.com, click on find a location and type in a zip code, we're using their technology. We're not one of the 0.35% they estimate will be impacted. Yeah. So
thank goodness.
Hey, this is the portion of the show where since pretty much what we do for a living is help people with their technology, we spotlight a help segment. Had a longtime small business customer call me last week and say, hey, I am tired of paying $150 a month to store all my old files.
Oh, he means like traditional storage.
Yeah, I mean storage, all the paper files and everything. For
I
the
put
business.
Them in our spare bedroom.
You don't have a business.
Oh, okay.
That's costing you.
And they have, they have the need to keep some of these documents and architectural drawings and those kinds of things. Just, I've heard about Dropbox. Can I just scan these images? I got a lot of extra employees that could do this. Can I just scan all these images and put them in Dropbox and then get rid of these paper files?
That would take a long time.
Well, that was the first question I had. He says, look, traditionally the winter is a very slow season for us, so I'm trying to find productivity tasks for my staff. So I said, okay, well, if you've got that, then the next step is just scanning everything and putting it up in the cloud.
When you scan all this stuff, you got to understand it's going to become an image or a PDF or something like that, right? So now you've got all these images. Then you've got to figure out then how to file them and organize them, because the point of storing them is that you want to be able to find them someday if you need them, right?
So Dropbox is a fantastic file synchronization service. Have you ever used Dropbox?
I've never used it.
So like before the iCloud and before everything else, and in fact, I think it's far superior to the iCloud, you could basically set up a folder at your office, let's say.
Uh-huh.
And you're saying, anytime I put anything into this folder, make a copy up to my Dropbox account, so it's up in the cloud, and then when I get home, I'm going to do the same thing and say, this is my Dropbox folder. And so it syncs up to the cloud and then back down to my office machine instantaneously anytime I save anything to that folder.
Just because the folders are named the same thing.
Well, no. It's been set up.
You give it some pointers and settings.
Yeah.
And
tell it where to go.
It's a way to get files from your office to your home computer and also a copy in the cloud so that if you're somewhere else, you can get to them. And very convenient for that. It works fantastically, but...
That's what Dropbox is really designed for, and it's fabulous for that. You can do it with your iPhone, your iPad, the whole thing. What I found was that there are other more, let's say, conducive resources for doing something
more
like
gooder
that. More
well especially if you want to be able to find it down the road. And that's the big tough thing with something like Dropbox. It's meant to be like your little thumb drive that you plug in and it's meant to be miscellaneous stuff you're working on or a project or what have you.
You need an electronic filing cabinet.
Well,
yeah,
but even worse in his situation is it has to synchronize to a folder on one of his computers. So if you delete a file, right, it deletes it in the Dropbox account as well. So that's not going to work for document storage. And document management doesn't exist. Office Drop was the resource I found. It's a very cool program specifically designed for people that have this need. And even better, they have special software that'll take your scanner and connect it to their cloud. So as you're scanning it,
direct,
it puts it right up into your cloud account.
That's smart.
Now, didn't they also have some kind of service that if you wanted to bypass, like this guy we're talking about, he had a bunch of downtime with his employees looking for something for them to do to be productive, right? If you don't have that luxury and you just want to get this stuff taken care of, you can ship them boxes of stuff and they'll scan it at their end and stick it in your account too.
Yeah, and it was not that. It was like 12 cents a document or something. And when they scan it, one of the options they have is they can scan it not as a document image. They can actually scan it so that the information on there is searchable.
OCR, if you will.
Yeah. So,
optical
it's
character recognition.
If you're in that situation, even if you pay these guys on a monthly basis, you know, my friend was paying $150 a month for the storage facility. How much stuff could you get scanned every month, right? But just by sending it to him. So if you're in that situation, check it out. We've got the links on our website, datadoctors.com/radio.
Now, if they could only figure out how to do this with my Christmas ornaments and my extra furniture and things that people store in storage units, then that'd be good.
Exactly. Hey, guys, you know, as the holidays approach, one of the biggest things is everybody's baking and you get all these extra gifts and things, including lots of cookies.
Yeah.
Well, what if you have too many cookies on your web browser? How do you get rid of them?
You need to toss your cookies.
Exactly. How do you do it? We've got easy ways to do it, how to protect yourself, how to get rid of the bad things and clean everything up. Just go to datadoctors.com/radio to find out how to delete your cookies.
Doesn't involve two fingers down the throat either. We don't recommend that method.
Oh, God. Horrible visual.
Well, you said toss your cookies.
Okay.
Moving on.
Thank you.
No good?
Hey, we got
no.
a question from our Facebook page. Taylor was asking about these toolbars. And you know, what's funny, because the people that are not terribly sophisticated with technology, a lot of times they ask you for help. So you pop open a web browser, and half of the web surface searching, I mean, half of the window that you would use for the web page
Yahoo
is loaded up with toolbars.
Yeah. Oh, all those things that give you, like, no space to do anything.
Well, yeah, it starts out with one that's the search toolbar, which search is now integrated anyway. But, okay, we got one. And then another one gets in there, because everything you install, if you're not paying attention, you next. There was checkboxes that say, don't put this in, but you didn't uncheck them. So, anyway, all those toolbars take up all this space, and how to get rid of them.
That's one issue. Two is it's going to slow down your browser experience, because all these toolbars are generally calling home and serving ads and tracking what you're doing and all that good stuff. And unfortunately, in the past, it was kind of tough to get rid of these toolbars depending upon how they're doing. The latest version of Internet Explorer actually has very, very simple ways for anybody to start getting rid of that. Reclaim your real estate and get rid of those toolbars.
And as usual, we'll post the links to how to datadoctors.com/radio.
Hey, when we come back, you've got an iPhone 4S, and if you're like the rest of the world, you're still playing with it. So is Siri sucking up your data plan?
Also, do you still surf the web on the big blue E? Survey says no. We'll explain.
We've been talking about hybrid drives for the last few weeks, hybrid hard drives. And if you want to get in on this goodness, you got to act fast.
Yeah, we told you about the flooding in Thailand and how it's increasing the prices of hard drives. And the hard drive prices on hybrids have gone up as well. But even still at the higher price, it's still one of the best things you can do for your computer.
Your computer's hard drive, it's the slowest component in your computer. And if you speed it up, you'll speed everything up.
Look, we can add a hybrid hard drive to your laptop or desktop for just $199. And for a limited time, we'll install it for free.
That's right, for free, we said, on the installation. So if you're excited about this breakthrough in hard drives and you want to make it affordable for everybody, you get down to Data Doctor's location now.
That's right, you can get a major performance boost for less than $200.
Wherever you are, if you can hear our voices, we can rock your world with this new technology.
Give us a call. It's 888-545-1988 or go online, datadoctors.com, and schedule an appointment today.
And tell them the guys on the radio said, we'll install it for free.
Go to datadoctors.com fast.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, if you've missed any of the previous shows, let's say last week or maybe even back 10 years, got great news for you. Just go to datadoctors.com/radio and you can click on previous show and listen to any and all of those shows that you've missed.
Tech knowledge for your technology.
Data Doctors radio program.
Oh, Siri.
Oh, I love Siri.
How do we love thee?
Siri, do you like Ben Folds?
She can't connect to the network right now to answer that question.
About half the time, it seems like, for me.
Yeah. You know, so if you're an iPhone 4S user and you've been playing around with Siri, like Ken Colburn has. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
gosh.
Like I'm the only one.
You're the one causing the problem, I'm sure of it.
Dude, you are. In fact, they have an offender list at Apple of Siri offenders. Ken Colburn at the top. The rest of the world below you.
I'd rather be an offender than a pretender.
So the question that I had for Ken the other day was, how much of our data plan is Siri eating up?
Well, if people don't know, when you ask Siri a question, she has to connect to the internet, back to Apple monster Siri server somewhere in a secret dungeon to get the answer and then tell you the answer, right? And that's for everything, even things that you wouldn't think, like, what's my name? I mean, she knows what your name is, but she's got to go and process that off-site, and so it uses data every time you use it, and unless you're on an unlimited data program, that could be a lot of data.
So, a company called Ars Technica did a pretty thorough investigation. They actually dug into how much data use happens every time you talk to Siri.
And?
So here's the numbers. Here are the numbers broken down. If you use Siri 2 to 3 times a day,
yes,
at an average of 63 kilobytes per instance, you might expect to use 126 KB or 189 KB per day.
Say it isn't so.
Now, that's nothing.
Let's go
that's
to the
anything.
High end of the average person. If you use it 10 to 15 times a day.
Or if you're like Ken Colburn and you use it twice as much as that. Go ahead.
You could be using 630K to 945K a day or 18.5 to 27.7 meg per month. Now.
Wait. So that's a huge heavy user, 18 megabytes
correct.
Per month.
And the cheapest per month. Limited data plan is two gigabytes.
Which is 1,000 megabytes each. Gigabytes, that's 2,000 megabytes, and you're going to use 18 of those for a heavy user.
So abuse Siri as much as you can.
It's not an issue is what you're saying.
No, not at all. And if you can connect to the network, by the way, when it can connect to the network, does that count against you too?
Probably. This reminds me of the old days of the internet and people wanting to clean up their machines and discovering all these cookies they had, and they wanted to delete them to get back space, and they didn't realize that cookies... You could fit every cookie you've ever had probably on one floppy disk.
Yeah.
And so then, okay, go ahead and clean those up. Now
what? Well, and there's a very big misconception that if you clear up space on your hard drive, for the most part, anytime you do that, it's going to speed the computer up. It's like there's less weight on it.
Right.
The only time that's true, folks, is if you're getting near the end, you're getting near full.
Right.
That's a bad situation. But, you know, if you've got 20, 30, 40% of your drive space and you're thinking, well, I'm going to clean stuff up so it'll go faster. Not so much.
If you're thinking it's like taking stuff out of the trunk of your car. Yeah. No.
You know what? We need to do an entire show on all the misnomers and myths and missteps and all the stuff that people
Myths, misnomers, and missteps. Coming soon to Data Doctors Radio Program.
Can we add misfits too?
Sure. Absolutely.
And merriment.
Hey, if you're looking for a great mobile web browser.
You got one already.
What is it?
Safari. It's built into the
iPhone. No.
Safari ain't that great.
Opera Mini. Speaking of trying to conserve data.
Tried it. It's okay.
It's got some built-in compression. It's very, very light when it uses data. It doesn't pull a lot. Opera Mini, it's good for any device. Tab browsing. It's killer. And
it's not just for iPhones.
It's for every platform.
He doesn't listen. Androids.
But it's not just for iPhones. I'm saying that because Apple fanboy's talking.
But I'm saying it's for every device.
Before you said that.
I know that, but I want to make sure people did read between the lines.
Why don't we just do the program?
I think his hearing is going at his age. That's what the problem is.
You talking to me?
Huh? It's good.
We think your hearing is going.
Get a link and go download Mini Opera Mini, datadoctors.com/radio.
Hey.
Hey.
Spanky was excited about this next thing.
Yes.
Why?
The Big Blue E, otherwise known as Internet Explorer, now carries less than half of web traffic.
Finally!
I don't know why you're excited because...
It's the big blue E.
How does this affect you?
E for evil.
Now, what's misleading about this a little bit is it's still the number one used browser on the planet.
Sure.
On a computer.
Yes.
Not on a mobile device.
Yes, it doesn't work on any mobile device.
That's why.
Well, guess who's winning on mobile traffic?
Who cares?
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Fanboy?
Safari.
Right.
An Apple product.
Safari. Let's go surfing now.
Okay.
I don't know.
So, the big blue E... is now carrying less than half of the World Wide Web's web traffic.
For those of you not keeping score, the big blue E they're referring to is Microsoft's Internet Explorer.
Yeah, that's what I said at the very beginning.
He's not hearing us.
No, you didn't say it.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't say
I'm
it.
I'm going to play this back for you.
Dear listeners, please, we apologize for Ken's hearing loss today.
Hey, Spank?
Yes, sir.
Did you tell people that Opera works on Android and Symbian?
Shoot me now.
You know what we need to do?
Yes.
Because there's probably confusion.
Yes.
Ken, explain to him what we're talking about when we talk about the Big Blue E.
Okay, so when you hear these guys talk about the Big Blue E,
right?
They're talking about Google Chrome.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What's happened to this program?
It's gone downhill fast.
I'm sorry.
This is one of those Chris Humphrey stories.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant.
It's not irrelevant. I just think it's interesting because Internet Explorer for years has been the dominant, the big boy. And yes, I agree, Brandon. It is a little misleading because they still have 48%, some ridiculous number of the market share.
Right.
They're just, but there's so much fragmentation now because there are all these browsers which are.
So may I turn this?
No, I can tell you why. Who cares?
Who?
Because there are browsers out there that are far better, far superior. And that number that...
Spanky, we've been telling people for years, get a second browser, even if you want to keep using the Big Blue E. They're not listening. They don't care.
Well, and Ken doesn't listen if he's not listening.
Are you talking to me?
Yes. So, Ken, go ahead.
But let's turn this into that piece of advice that we've hammered home that, like you said, nobody's listening. Folks, if you don't have Google Chrome or Firefox, one of the other alternative browsers loaded on your computer... When you get into a tight spot, which is about just going to happen at some point when you're using the Big Blue E, which, by
even
the way,
if you're
what's
not using the Big Blue E.
What's the Big Blue E stand for?
I forgot. I don't know.
You don't have an alternative browser to jump to. It really makes diagnosing these problems difficult. So to twist this irrelevant story into something of value.
And just to be safe, this is not the beginning of the show, Ken. This is the end of the show. Thank goodness.
Wait get a second browser was the point of his discussion.
I got it.
Hey, there's lots of stuff we didn't get to today, including telling you what the big blue E really means. But have no fear. We've got links to everything we talked about and more. DataDoctors.com/radio.
And if you missed any of today's program, like Ken, he's going to go listen to the podcast, the Data Doctors Radio Program podcast on iTunes. You can too. You too can hear every minute of it.
Is hour number two coming up or what? Are we?
No. Remember, if you get stuck with any of your technology, your hard drive starts clicking, you spill your morning coffee in your laptop, we can help with that too. We've got locations all around the country. Just go to datadoctors.com, type in your zip code in the locator, and you'll find the locations.
It's the Data Doctors. Ken, Brandon, Spanky, I think we're done.
Data Doctors radio program.
Are we done?
I think we're done.
Thank goodness we're done.
Reboot.